With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the official England podcast. The group stages are done and dusted, finito, complete. And what a night that was in Group F on Wednesday. It really was the perfect conclusion to what has been a highly exciting tournament so far. I'm Adam Smith and I'll be bringing you all things Three Lions every single day. Over the next week, we'll be looking ahead to our clash against Germany at Wembley on Tuesday the 29th of June. Have my butterflies already kicked in? You better believe it. So stick the kettle on, here's what's coming up. We'll bring you all the build-up ahead of Tuesday's historical clash at Wembley against the Germans. European football expert Julien Laurent gave his insight into the teams left in the competition.
If this Belgian team can be fired up again, I think they can beat anyone, but you just can't counter Ronaldo.
Vice-captain Jordan Henderson was on media duties.
We knew whatever team would face, it was going to be a big challenge, and Germany will certainly be that, so we need to give everything against them.
England's only goal scorer at this summer's tournament so far, Raheem Sterling, stepped into the Lions' den.
I've been building up myself for, you know, that moment. Opportunity came and it was a great feeling, man, especially with scoring and winning 1-0, and it was a lovely one.
Josh Denzel himself will be joining us to give us all the insight from within the camp.
Everyone's just all eyes on the prize now. It's the business end.
And I spoke exclusively to England fullback Kieran Trippier.
I don't think we do fair Germany. We've got a quality team. We've got to be positive. Just regroup now and just focus on that game.
Right, let's get stuck into it.
You're listening to the official England podcast.
Wow, what a night of football we had on Wednesday. Desmond Tutu had twins and produced two stunning draws. Yes, France drew 2-2 with Portugal after a very end-to-end game, which left the French group winners with Portugal finishing in third. The other game was, of course, Germany and Hungary, and it really was an absolute classic. Once again, ending 2-2, but for large portions of time, Hungary were on top, scoring directly from kickoff after that Germany equaliser. So these results mean that England will be facing Germany in the next round after they finish second in Group F. And I saw a fantastic tweet from @ChrisWisey who said, a final timeline of England's round of 16 opponents. At 8 o'clock, we were playing Germany, but that only lasts for 11 minutes when England's opponents looked like it would be Portugal. Then at 8:30, it changed and it was England against France. But not for long, because at 8:45, we were meeting Portugal. That changed at 9:02, and would you believe it, it was England against Hungary. But again, not for long, don't get excited, because 9:15 came and so did Portugal. Then 9:21 arrived and it was England against Germany before 9:23 when we were back facing Ronaldo and his Portuguese teammates until 9:39 when our opponents were Germany. So England's possible opponents in the round of 16 changed 8 times during the 90 minutes. The beautiful game, eh? Now, as we are in the business end of the tournament, and we all know the confirmed teams for the knockout stages of the Euros, who better to get on the official England podcast than a European football expert to give us all the insight and analysis on the upcoming matches? I'm pleased to say joining me now is a man you would have seen and heard on an array of platforms, including ESPN, BT Sport, Five Live, the Totally Football Show. He is everywhere. It is Julien Laurent. Julien, thank you very much for joining us. How have you been and how much have you enjoyed the tournament so far?
Hi, mate. Thank you for having me to start with. I've really enjoyed this tournament. I think the the quality will improve now that we're really down to the best bit, really. Let's be honest. A lot of people said there's actually two tournaments in one at the Euros. You know, the real Euros start now. No offense to the teams that are out, but you know the quality is going to go up. Everybody are going to raise their game, all the big players, all the big names as well. So I was very happy so far. I'm even more excited now for what's coming up.
Yeah, likewise. I completely agree with that. Now, because you are a European football expert, there's so many things I want to ask you about so many teams. So I feel it's only applicable to start by talking about your beloved France. Many people believe they have the best squad in terms of strength and depth in the tournament. What have you made of their performances so far?
Some really good positives, and we saw the game against Germany where that was really impressive in the way they controlled that game, the way they blocked the Germans' offences, if you want, and they could have easily scored three or even four goals probably in that game. So that was good. Then the Hungary game was a bit more underwhelming. I think they were complacent, a bit arrogant, which we have that in us French people anyway in general, so it was not as a surprise, but it was really hard, full stadium. The Hungarians played really well, as we saw a few days later for them in their game against Germany. So it was not the greatest of performances, but at least they didn't lose, and I think they would take that. And then Portugal, first half a bit slow again, second half much better, Paul Pogba with a masterclass performance. And I think you saw in that second half against Portugal what France will be like in this knockout stage. This is a team that lives for those big games. That's how they won the last World Cup. That's how they went to the final in 2016 as well, the last Euros. They are made for those big games, those big occasions, and you certainly saw some of that in that second half against Portugal. So overall, I think it's positive, but there's still room for improvement, and I think we're going to get a much better France team from the last 16 onwards.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know about you, but I've only just recovered from the games on Wednesday night, France v Portugal and Germany v Hungary. Two incredible games. I was watching them both, trying to work out all the permutations. It was amazing. A lot of people said being in a group of death, it is obviously hard because you're facing great opposition. But are there positives to that, that the likes of France have already had tough tests in this tournament? So do you think that might stand them in good stead going into the knockout stages?
100%. And that's certainly how Didier Deschamps and the players see it too. You know, we talk about Italy and they've been great, but there's always a but with Italy. We say, oh, they've been great, but they've played against teams that were not very good, let's be honest. And there's others like that as well. You know, England have unbeaten, haven't conceded, but let's wait to see them against a stronger opposition. And I think even English players and Italian players are welcoming the fact that they will play against bigger opposition. You can only beat what's in front of you anyway. But I think there's always this but when you've got kind of an easy group going into the knockout stages. With France, that's not the case. You know, they've already played Germany and Portugal and Hungary at home with the only full capacity stadium, certainly when that game was played. So big test already for them, big performances, big opposition, big sort of tactical headaches to find solutions, to find options, to find different formulas, which maybe others were a bit more comfortable and didn't have to go and dig deep, for example, which the French had to do. So I think it's an advantage for sure. And also the way the French prepared, like in 2018, to reach their peak fitness-wise, physically, from the last 16 onwards. So they were a bit leggy, which we expected. And then you can expect them to be much better physically than they were in the first three games, which I think will have its importance too. So it's always good if you can qualify after beating some tough opposition, I think.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you mentioned some of the nations there. Which team, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, but which team have you been most impressed with so far, would you say?
Italy, I think, because I knew how well Mancini had been doing, but I still wanted to see them, albeit again, that kind of opposition, again, not the strongest, but I wanted to see them in a tournament. They had missed the last two. This is a young generation for most of them. And I wanted to see how they cope with the pressure and the expectations. They were at home in Rome, played great. That's another big advantage that they won't have going forward now anyway. And I was really pleasantly surprised.
Right. Okay.
England was what I expected. Spain, I thought they would do better. So I was a bit disappointed, although they qualified in the end. Germany, disappointing. Portugal, disappointing. The Netherlands, I'm not a big Frank de Boer fan at all. I've never been. I'm still not sure really how good of a manager he is. Let's remember Crystal Palace Atlanta United, all those clubs. But they've been great. A lot of runnings, a lot of movements. So I would say Italy and Netherlands really are the one that I've enjoyed the most watching so far.
Okay, and you mentioned Mancini. I think Mancini wins the award for the smoothest looking, suavest looking manager in the touch. That looks amazing, doesn't he, with his jacket. I wouldn't be doing my job.
An interview when he just had the jacket on his finger. Like,
on his jacket on the finger,
why
amazing.
Did you do that? You're not visiting your nan or going for a pub for a walk. It's a flash interview.
I loved how many times the cameras cut to him during the interview. It was just constantly with that that jacket that he was holding over his shoulder. Now, Julian, I wouldn't be doing my job right as the presenter of the Official England Podcast if I didn't ask you your thoughts on this England team. So I'm just intrigued to know, because we look at it from an English perspective all the time on every episode. What is the viewpoint from yourself and from the foreign press about how good this English squad is?
I think it was a little bit mixed in these group stages, because the first 20, 25 minutes against Croatia were really good and really promising. And then the intensity sort of flattened a little bit. It was a bit more slow, but it was a key win to get first game of the tournament at Wembley as well. You need to go for a win. You don't care so much about the performances. The Scotland game was a bit more underwhelming, a bit like France against Hungary. And then I thought there was progression. There was improvement against the Czech in the way they played, the team played in the first half. I think Jack Grealish and Bukayo Saka had a really positive impact on that team.
Yeah.
I still think that Gareth Southgate is still looking for the best formula going forward. There's obviously the Harry Kane conundrum in a way of how to get the best out of him. But certainly you don't concede, you're unbeaten, you're top of your group. You can hardly do better in terms of results. In terms of performance, everybody can improve, and I really expect this England team to improve. The problem is that you play Germany straight in, which I think they could have done with a team in between, if you want, in between the level of this group stage and in between of the level of a Germany side, for example, with all their experience.
How do you see that game going? How do you see England-Germany going in your sort of expertise?
It's 50-50 for me on paper to start with.
Okay.
The question I have is how this England team, and a lot of them are young and a lot of them have never played against Germany, but all of them know about the history, the rivalry, the games from the past, the scars that has left, or the joy out of it, like in 66, all of them will know. I think it's a very special game for Gareth Southgate because it's at Wembley, it's 25 years on, that 96 semi-final. You know, there's a lot of story there, and I just don't know how, as a player, you deal with that kind of pressure, expectation. You can just imagine the build-up between now and Tuesday will be all about this, all about the past, all about the rivalry. And I think the German, on the other hand, are very happy to face England. We saw Joshua Kimmich saying after the game last night, there's no more beautiful game than playing against England.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. It's just that degree of coping with the pressure on the England side. If they do that well, they can win and beat Germany, no problems. I think if there's too many ghosts from the past coming in, I think that might be a bit more difficult.
Yeah, there have been, just you mentioning some of there, as an England fan, we seem to play Germany. It seems to be every tournament. I know it's not every tournament, but there's been so many iconic England v Germany games over the years. But I do look at this England squad, and I just think this is such a strong squad that England have. So fingers crossed, England do get the win. What other ties are you looking forward to? I imagine that's one of them. What other ties in the round of 16 have caught your eye?
The other one has to be the Belgium-Portugal game, because Belgium are one of the favourites, and deservedly so. Roberto Martinez doing a wonderful job there. We saw the importance of Kevin De Bruyne when he came on at halftime against Denmark and really changed that game. Lukaku is already top form, on fire. We see Axel Witsel, who is so important. Maybe not the most flamboyant name or style of football, but in terms of balance of the team,
important player key, for the team. I agree. Yeah,
completely as key as the others, and him coming back from his injury and now near full fitness is great. Same with Eden Hazard, and I think if this Belgian team can be fired up again, I think they can beat anyone. But you just can't counter Ronaldo. It's impossible. Already 5 goals in 3 games.
Incredible.
We saw them being really good in the first half against France, dropping Bruno Fernandes on the bench and going back a bit to the Portugal of 2016, how they won the last Euros, being really solid, very strong in midfield and quite efficient up front. And I think they can cause problems to anyone, like we saw against France. And I think Belgium could have problems defensively against Ronaldo, Jota, Bernardo Silva, and if Bruno stays on the bench and comes on as an impact sub. So that's another amazing tie in the last 16 with the England-Germany one.
And finally, because you are so insightful on so many clubs, I've got to ask you, it's only applicable for me to say, who do you think will win the tournament? Bear in mind, this is the official England podcast. I'm not trying to sway you, Julian, but who do you think is lifting the trophy?
If I want to come back on the show, it's England. Of course, it's England. Never well in doubt. Never in doubt.
He's back on the show tomorrow.
Thank you. I'm available. I'm all good.
Brilliant.
Come
answer.
On, England. I think that the winner of the England-Germany game will reach the final on that side of the draw.
Okay.
So I hope for England fans
big game.
The boys and Southgate that they win this. And again, like we said, they can. There will be a lot of things that will decide that tie, but they can beat Germany, of course, at Wembley in front of half of the stadium. Great. And then I think the pathway to the final is quite clear. On the other side, I think France will win that half of the draw. I would love as a Frenchman who lives in London, who's been living here for 17 years, who has a Welsh wife and three children born in London, I would love a France-England final, my two countries, of course.
Yeah.
And then it will be 50-50 and made the best win.
Love that. Perfect answer, Julian. Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll get you back on again. Hope you enjoyed that, and we'd love to get you back on the podcast.
Anytime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
It was the turn of England vice-captain Jordan Henderson to chat to the media. Here's what he had to say.
It was very pleasing to get some minutes the other night. I was very happy to get 45 minutes. So yeah, I feel good. I felt good for a while now. Of course, I haven't played before that for a while up until I played the friendly a few weeks ago. But yeah, I've been training for a long time. I've been feeling good, training well. So I just need to make sure I'm ready and whenever called upon, I can come on and do a job for the team. We knew whatever team would face, it was going to be a big challenge. And Germany will certainly be that. You watched the game the other night. They've got quality all over the pitch. Fantastic players. So, yeah, it's always going to be a tough test. But when you get in the knockouts of the tournament, it's always going to be a tough challenge. So we need to make sure we're ready. We've got a good few days to prepare. And come Tuesday, we need to be ready to go, really. Obviously, a lot of talk will be on penalties and things like that. But for us, you know, we've been in a penalty shootout not so long ago and we practice penalties all the time. So it's just part and parcel of football really now, in tournaments especially. Having the fans back has been amazing these last few games. To be playing with fans has been really good. So for that to double and create even more of an atmosphere, it'll be really special. But us as players need to give the fans something to shout about. So hopefully we can do that on the night as well.
In the Lions Den yesterday was England's match winner against Croatia and match winner against the Czech Republic. Who else but Raheem Sterling? The boy from Brent was in great spirits when he sat down with our very own Josh Denzel.
You said you'd score at Wembley if you ever got the chance to play there in a tournament. And you did that. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, no, it was, as I said, I've been building up myself for, you know, that moment for a long time. And, you know, when I woke up on that morning, I was just in such high spirits, and you know, it was a difficult day because it was really, really hot. It was boiling, and you know, it's one of those you just got to keep concentrated and wait for the opportunity. And you know, opportunity came, and it was a great feeling, man. Especially scoring and winning 1-0, and you know, opening day, it was a lovely one.
Brilliant chat with Raheem there. And joining me now is the king of the pack, the man who runs the den. It is Josh Denzel's world and we're all just living in it. Josh, how you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm not sure it's my world, but yeah, I'll take the intros. They get better every week.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Yeah. You had the boy from Brent in the Lions den, Raheem Sterling, the goal scorer in both the games, obviously Czech Republic and Croatia. He must have been in great spirits.
Yeah, he was. He was good. He was actually... The players would kind of turn up as and when before the show, but I got a message from some of the boys saying, "Don't worry, he will arrive. He's just busy dancing to a song." So that's the kind of mood that he's in right now. I thought, you know what? What song? Let's dance. I'm all for it.
What song was it?
I've not actually found out. I'm going to have to ask him.
Fair play. You are, of course, in camp the whole time, in and amongst the team and the players. So what's been going on at St George's Park today? Has it been a busy one, a rest day? What's been going on?
Yeah, it's the first day the kind of boys are back in training after a rest day yesterday. Yeah, everything's looking good. They played a chicken game, you know, where I got Raz to explain what it was, because sometimes, you know, you're watching live training and you're thinking... Why are they throwing around this rubber chicken? But it's essentially, it's the rules, like the rules of netball, right?
Okay.
But you can't, once you get the chicken, you can't move. And the way you get rid of the chicken is you've got to, whilst stood still, you've got to hit someone else with the chicken, and then that's how you win the game, essentially.
Yeah.
But that's what they were playing. Everyone was in good spirits. And I think, obviously, with a massive game coming up, like, it's everyone's just all eyes on the prize now. It's the business end.
Yeah, mate, let's talk about it, because I haven't spoken about it yet. England v Germany at Wembley Stadium in a knockout match for the Euros. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that, does it?
It is. I think it's pretty much the biggest fixture that we could have wished for, and it's come fairly early on in the tournament. But I think having the fans at Wembley, I think is going to have make a massive, massive difference. Like, the atmosphere is going to be insane. The players are going to be up for it. And I think that we're building every single game. And Germany... Having yesterday, obviously, we watched the game and my mouth was like, my jaw was glued to the floor. Oh. Every time I turn around, goal here, goal there, penalty. So I think Germany can be got at, and I feel hopeful. I don't know whether that's the, you know what I mean? That's the typical England fan in me, but I do 100% feel hopeful that we can win that game.
Yeah, it's a huge game. Any other fixtures you're excited about, mate? Because there's some good ones. I think Belgium, Portugal, that stands out, doesn't it, that one?
I think when you've got Lukaku, you know, you've got Ronaldo, you've got
De Bruyne, Bruno.
Like, De Bruyne, Bruno, like these guys, this is elite level guys going up against each other, two teams in form. You know, Ronnie's obviously scored against everyone in that group of death, and you've got Lukaku who's going for the golden boot. Like it's set up to be an amazing game.
Yeah, it's getting exciting now, isn't it, now in the business end. Let's talk fantasy football. If anyone's listening to this for the first time, they'll know that me and you are doing a little England presenter fantasy football off. The bad news for you is, mate, I captained Lewandowski, who scored twice in match day 3. The good news for you, though, is that I've forgotten my password and I've been logged out and I can't get back in.
See, I had Pogba and, and Benzema, didn't I? So it's all going fairly well for me right now.
Wow, that is decent.
I'm on 126 points.
What am I on? Have you got me there as well?
I'm gonna
can't log in. It's a big problem, which I think a lot of people can relate to. Forget your password, fantasy, but I've got a bit of breathing space until the next game.
Although I am unfortunately 40 points behind you, but that doesn't matter because it's all about how you finish.
It's true. I like that. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Just tell us what's next on Lions Den, what you got coming up, mate.
We've got the superstar, the main man, my mate, Jack Grealish, on the show tomorrow. So I'm very excited. It will be a lively one. So you better not miss it. You better not miss it. There'll be a lot of banter flying around because we've had Bukayo on, we've had Mason, we've had a few of the boys that say Jack, he's been getting people with the filters and the banter. So I think it's time for some payback on Lions Den.
Brilliant. And that just reminds us, that's 4 o'clock. It's everywhere, isn't it, basically? You can't miss it.
4 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to be live on YouTube, live on Twitch. So yeah, you can't miss it.
Class. Josh, as always, pleasure, mate. We'll speak to you again on tomorrow's episode.
Nice one, Jake.
Cheers, mate. It wouldn't be an official England podcast without an exclusive chat with one of the Three Lions players. And yesterday, I spoke to a man that I know very well, and that very man who made us all jump for joy and throw our pints in the air when he bagged that free kick in the World Cup semi-final. Yes, I am, of course, talking about Kieran Trippier. He spoke about the competition for places, the mood in the camp, and just what the boys are feeling ahead of the Germany clash. He also spoke about how his dad is quite possibly the biggest England fan ever, and he officially told us what he's really like at Fortnite. Have a listen.
You're listening to the official England podcast.
Trips, great to have you on the official England podcast, mate. How you been?
Yeah, I've been good, mate. Thank you. How about you?
Yes, not bad, thanks. So first question, mood in the camp. England are through as group winners. I imagine everyone's pretty happy.
Yeah, everyone's buzzing. You know, obviously, 7 points, 3 clean sheets. Not conceded a goal yet. So now the camp's very happy. You know, we've got about 6 days now to rest before the Germany game, but what a game to be in the next round in.
Yeah, unbelievable game. I've got a few questions about that coming up. I just want to first just get you to reflect on Tuesday night, because it was a huge result for the boys, wasn't it? Another game at Wembley, the atmosphere. What did you make of that? What was your reaction to that game? Special night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a special night because I think, especially after the Scotland game, you know, it was all devastated because we drew the game and we wanted to put it right against the Czech Republic. And, you know, I think we come out of the blocks, you know, very, very fast. You know, Bakayo, fantastic. All the team was, to be honest. And we, you know, we tried to score more goals, but it didn't happen. But the most important thing was the win. We got that. We topped the group. That was our main objective from the start, is to qualify, and we've done it. So there's a lot of positive things, and we know there's a lot to improve on also.
Yeah, you play in an area where there's so much competition for places. I mean, to be fair, there isn't in a lot of positions in this England team. You've played in games, you've been on the bench in other games. How do you find that personally? Is it frustrating having so many good players in your position, or actually is it a positive because it spurs you on?
Nah, it's only a positive. Obviously, I'm really close to Walks, probably the one who I hang around the place with the most, known him for many years. Obviously, Reece is a fantastic player, but like I said, the first game I played left back is Croatia. And, you know, for me, if I play right back, left back, as long as I'm helping the team, that's the most important. And like I said, I played the first one, haven't played the last two, but, you know, I'm not sitting around complaining. All I've got to do is help the team and encourage the other players, not just the players that are in my position. You know, we've got so many young players in the team. You know, I want to help them as much as I can. If it's, you know, me speaking to them, no, encouraging them. And yeah, I'll be ready for whenever I'm called upon.
Do you know what's interesting about that is we had Carl Walker on this podcast last week, and he said exactly the same thing about how he's really close to you and when play or he plays or whoever. And it's just so nice to hear that the team spirit just seems to be so good. And you're saying there that you're helping out the younger players even when you're not playing.
Yeah, like, obviously it's difficult because Gareth can only choose 11 players. So, yeah. You know, we're all together for a long time. And, you know, the most important thing is that everybody gets on it. You know, because as you can imagine, if you're away for so long and, you know, little things start creeping in where, you know, you're not training well, or, you know, it can creep in. But here, everyone's training really well. Everyone's playing well, no matter who's been selected. And you just got to crack on because the main objective is to win the tournament. And, you know, it's not about just about the 11. It's the bench, the players that come on. It's the players that don't make the squad. And I feel that's what's important about this team, because we're so close and we're just like one team. And it's really special.
Yeah, it's great to hear that. And of course, as a defender, 3 games, 3 clean sheets. Do you get home and pat on the back, job done? do you let the players know that? Because it's been great defensively, isn't it? It's a real positive for this team, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've, you know, defending from the start of the competition, I think we've done that brilliantly, you know, as a back four. But of course, it starts from the front, and you've got to give them a pat on the back also, because the more they run is the less job that you have to do. So it starts from H and it comes all the way back. But as a team, I think we've defended very well. But like I said, if we can just be a bit more clinical, try to create more chances, then yeah, obviously we'll be even more better.
I know how much you love playing for England. It's clear to see on your social media and all your post-match and your pre-match press conferences. Whenever you do that, you seem to absolutely love playing for your country. I found this quote. I don't know if this is a true story. I wanted to run this by you, where you said, "My dad had a massive pole with a big England flag in the garden. The garden's not even that big. The council made him take it down, but he didn't. They wrote letters to him and everyone and everything, but he said, 'I'm not taking it down,' because he's a proud Englishman." Is that a true story?
Yeah, they
love that. Gardens. Love that.
Tiny, to be fair. Yeah, and it was massive. The flag was huge. Honestly, I can't, Huge.
The way you said that.
The poll was about that thick as well.
Really?
And it was massive. Wow. Yeah, they wrote to him, the council. They come round. And he just said, I'm not taking it down. Because I think people's complaining as well. I don't know which people's complaining. He just said, I'm not taking it down. I said, they're threatening to fine him. But he didn't take it down in the end.
Wow.
He stayed strong and didn't take it down.
He stays strong too. I love it. So he must be so proud whenever you put an England shirt on. If he's got a massive pole with an England flag in his garden, it just—I mean, it's amazing.
I can't speak from every player's parents, because you just realise, you know, as you get older. Certainly at my age now, it's like, cause I've got kids myself. You know what they actually did. You know, to help me be in the position that I'm in today. All the sacrifices and that they made. So
really,
and I'll do the exact same for my son if he wants to be a footballer.
So if I was invited round, if you said to me, Smithy, come round to your dad's house, would he just have your free kick on repeat then? Because that is such an iconic goal that you scored for England. He must have been buzzing with that.
I don't know. If he came round, he'll probably give you a few beers. I think that's the first thing he'll do.
Would he?
He's one of them where he'll welcome you in, and he's football mad, as all my family are.
Yeah, okay, let's look ahead, mate. Next game, round of 16, England v Germany at Wembley Stadium in the knockouts. I mean, even just me saying that, I mean, you must be so excited about this game. It's a special game, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it's very special. As you look back over the years of games against Germany, well, obviously that stands out for me is when we won 5-1 in Germany itself.
Yeah, we had Emil Heskey on 2 days ago, and he reminded us of that because he scored such an iconic and a great celebration as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, for me, that's the game, you know, against Germany that stands up for me the most when I was growing up. Obviously, I played Germany, we drew 0-0. The lads beat him away not too long ago, a couple of years, I think. So, you know, Germany, fantastic team. You know, it's unbelievable players, but we shouldn't fear anybody. And I don't think we do fear Germany. You know, we've got a quality team. We've got to be positive. Just regroup now and just focus on that game.
The group of death, I don't know if you were you watching that as players? Because obviously, I think at one point, England's possible opponents changed 8 times during the 90 minutes. So were you all watching that as a squad? And what was your reaction as the goals were going in? Because it was a crazy night of football, wasn't it?
Oh, crazy. Like I said, I think it was Hungary at one point. And then it was, like you said, changed about 8-9 times. But you're going to have to play the best if it's France, Germany or Portugal or Hungary even. Because I think they've had a good tournament. But yeah, no matter who you come up against, you're going to have it's going to be tough. And to win the tournament, you're going to have to beat the best.
How tough is it as a player? I'm intrigued to know from a sort of player's perspective to block out all that noise, to sort of play the game and not the occasion. Because whenever England play Germany, so much is made within the media from fans about this fixture. Is that tough to block all of that out? And how important is it for players to just focus on the game and not everything else that comes with an England-Germany fixture?
No, it's good, obviously, for the, like you say, the supporters, the media, to get excited about the game, because it is a huge game, especially because we're playing at Wembley in the Euros. It's going to be massive. But as players, we played in big games anyway, you know, for our clubs, Champions League, like say finals or for England. So I feel that the players are used to it. I think they can just adapt to it no matter how big the media make it. So I think we'll be calm. We are all calm, enjoying training every day. And just waiting to cross that white line against Germany and, you know, hopefully get the win.
You mentioned big games there and big moments. And of course, you had a great season. Congrats, mate, from winning La Liga. How important are those experiences that you take going into the tournament? Because it's been a good season for a lot of the players, hasn't it, in this England team?
Yeah, like, you know, if you look now from a couple of years ago, you know, we've got so many players winning titles now, you know. And it's important as well, you know, for some of the young lads as well. You know, you get your Phil playing in Champions League finals, winning the Premier League. Reece James, Bakayo's playing a big game. So whenever they come away with England, they're not afraid. You look at Bakayo the other day, I thought it was unbelievable.
What a game.
Outstanding. Yeah. He's the similar situation. You know, he didn't play in the first couple of games. You know, you got to be ready. And he certainly were. And it just shows to everybody in the team, everybody's going to be called upon at some point. And he took his chance, got man of the match. And So when we do play these games like Germany, they're already ready because they're playing these massive games at the club level, and I feel that's very important. So I think there's no fear in these young lads anyway. So
no.
When I was there, I was at Barnsley playing in the Championship. So, you know, I just say to them, just go out and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Class story that. Yeah, it's great to hear. So I wanted to ask you a few light-hearted ones. I've been asking all the players what they're up to in your downtime. Now, I believe you're in the Fortnite Brigade with Walks and Jordan Pickford. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And, Jordan Pickford did say, I know you've got a great relationship with him, but he did say that you're light work on Fortnite. So I did say if you came on the pod, I'd give you a right to reply. What would you like to say to Pickers about that?
It's like, I have children, so I have to look after them.
Fair point, fair point.
No, but Pips is one of those where he's on it every single day. So
I can
be on it for not 6-7 days and I come on.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're just slapping me around the place. So what am I supposed to do? No, yeah, it's just like Fortnite. I'll just chill with the boys. Like, say we're playing basketball, you know, there's so much to do here. So we're always keeping ourselves busy.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah. Walk said there's been a few pranks going around, actually. You sort of seem to be in that sort of joker pack to raise teams. It's important, that side of it, isn't it? To raise team spirits and keep everyone's moods up. Are you one of them?
To a certain extent. right. But it's one of them where, say something goes wrong, I'm always the first person that someone comes to.
Are you?
Always. Really? Always. Like, Jack Grealish lost his phone the other day, come to me, where's my phone, Trips? I touched your phone.
Just to elaborate on that, you had nothing to do with it, but he came to you to sort it out?
Nothing to do with it. He found it in the changing room, in the physio room. He found it, I went, can I have an apology? And he apologised to me in the end, but anything that goes wrong, they come to me.
Well, why do you think that is? Why do you think you're the guy they come to?
It's, I don't know. It's like when I might love to play jokes or, you know, I like to have a laugh with the lads. Not everybody. Yeah, it's just banter, really. And just get everybody in the mood from when I breakfast, as soon as you wake up. Some players might get annoyed with me, but...
Love it. Finally, Chips, it's been absolutely brilliant to catch up with you, mate. I just wanted to end by sort of saying what your message would be to the fans. It's England, Germany at Wembley. There's going to be so many people watching. What would you like to say to all the England fans that are getting behind you boys this summer?
No, I'd just like to say, you know, as always, a big thank you for supporting us. You know, we wish, you know, more fans was there in the stadium, but I know you're all at home or at the pub supporting us or wherever you are. And and we'll try and do our best to win the game on Tuesday. But, you know, thank you for your support as always.
Top man, mate. I think it's a perfect note to end it. Thank you very much for your time, mate. And I'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much. Take care yourself, mate.
So that is all we have time for on today's show. It was great catching up with Trips as well as hearing all the key information about the last 16 from expert Julien Laurent. Remember to come back tomorrow as we'll be gearing up towards next week's round of 16 clash against Germany. How good does that sound, by the way? Over the coming days, we'll be looking into both sides and speaking to some special guests that have connections to this historical fixture. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Daily England Football Podcast. Genuinely, what more could you want during a major tournament? See you tomorrow. Stay safe and come on, England!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.